You're listening to Cinematic Adventures, proud member of the Misfit Faction Media Network.
Good morning, Vietnam!
I love the smell of napalm in the morning.
You're gonna need a bigger boat.
I feel the need for speed.
Roads, where we're going, we don't need roads.
Snakes. Why did it have to be snakes?
Vargas? We don't need no Vargas. I don't have to show you any stinking vices.
You make me want to be a better man.
Nobody puts baby in a corner.
I wish I knew how to quit you.
Love means never having to say you're sorry.
He's looking at you, kid.
I've always depended on the kindness. Strange.
All right, Mr. DeMille, I'm ready for my close-up.
Would you be shocked if I put on something more comfortable?
You know how to whistle, don't you, Steve? You just put your lips together and blow.
I'm not bad. I'm just drawn that way.
Hello, everyone, and welcome back to Cinematic Adventures. If you're listening to us on the go, you can catch us on Podbean, Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, Spotify, and pretty much anywhere else you can get your podcast. I'm looking forward to this episode. As always, I am Sean, and I'm here with my partner in crime down here in his studio basement. And that is Paul. Paul, how are you?
I'm doing all right, Sean. How are you?
I'm good. It's summer, Paul.
It is summer. And what better way to start off summer than with...
The Sandlot.
Go sports!
There you go.
Go sports.
Go sports.
Sports.
I am looking forward to this one. This is a movie I'm kind of surprised we haven't done yet. It's very possible we have done it, we just don't remember.
No, we have not done The Sandlot.
Oh, you actually looked?
No, I know that for a fact.
You know that for a fact?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
All right. Just,
you know, I trust your memory.
I don't know why.
Okay.
Okay.
Well, we're doing The Sandlot, folks. And for anyone out there who's never seen The Sandlot, where the heck have you been hiding?
Yeah, seriously.
Oh, my God. It's baseball season, so let's do a baseball movie, and it's a summer movie, so there you go. I am very excited about this, and pretty much, yeah.
That's all you got?
That's all I got. So, episode's over, guys. All
right, that's it. Bye.
It's been fun.
See you later.
So, we're going to start off with the cast of this movie.
I don't know what we're doing.
I don't know what we're doing. So we didn't plan anything.
Future, for the record, we don't have any news today.
No news. It's good news.
Fan Feedback Friday is going to get edited in at some point.
Oh, I forgot about Fan Feedback Friday.
Yeah, don't worry. I'll take care of that.
You are the god of this. Thank you, sir.
That's
you're in charge of everything.
I hope not. That's terrifying. I'm so sorry.
Well, it's worked so far.
Well, why don't we start with what are some of... What are you like your earliest memories of this movie?
Oh my God. Earliest memories of this movie, watching at my cousin's house on video all the time.
On
you know, this
video.
was one of those movies you watched maybe once a week, it felt like.
It was always on.
You know, it was one of those movies. Obviously, it's one of the most quotable movies of our generation.
It still is. Like,
well, that's
you
what
could,
I said.
You can still quote certain lines from this movie, like You're Killing Me Smalls or The Great Bambino, and everybody knows what you're talking about. Yeah. But for me, I remember the first time I ever saw this was actually at the video store it was playing.
Oh, really?
And it was the scene where he's telling the story about the beast. And it's terrifying as a kid.
Well, like, the concept of the beast, yeah, is obviously, you know, meant to be more terrifying than it really is. But, you know, I always loved that whole idea that this dog ate someone.
Oh, yeah.
And it's obviously still allowed to be alive.
I you know what? I'm completely okay with it. I think it's totally logical. This movie does take place in the 50s. Let's not
60s.
Forget. It takes place in the 60s. What year does this movie take
62.
Place? 62.
Yeah.
Bertram got really into the 70s.
60s.
And that too. And nobody ever saw him again. I'm just trying my best,
That
buddy.
Was my favorite. I always would be like, what does that mean? And nobody would explain it.
Now
like,
as an adult. Oh,
I get it. You know, this is also a movie where, you know, it's not, you could tell very quickly, it's not a Disney movie.
No.
You know, it was done by 20th Century Fox. And even though it's got a couple of Mighty Ducks, you know, cast members in it, that was always one thing I always found funny. It has, obviously, Luis Mendoza from the second two Mighty Ducks films. And it's also got Jesse from the first two.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
He's the heater.
Yep.
So that I always found funny. And, you know, it's... As we said, it's amazingly quotable. It's a coming of age story. You know, good young cast. That's a lot of the actors went on to have decent careers.
Yeah, nobody really blew it out.
No,
of the water.
Nobody became like a superstar or anything like that. But fun fact, you know, we're doing this movie. It's got James Earl Jones in it.
Oh my God, we just talked about Star Wars. What are the odds?
Oh my God. So, you want to do a cast or you want to do a plot?
We can do the cast first. All right, we got Tom Guiry as Scotty Smalls. He is the audience surrogate. He is the character that we're supposed to relate with the most. He is the new kid in town and a big giant nerd.
Big giant nerd.
With a fish hat.
Knows nothing about baseball. Has a new father, a stepdad, played by Dennis Leary.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, you could tell he's just... He's into, like, what was it? He's got, like,
the erector
set. The erector set.
My God.
Even his mom's just like, you need to get outside.
You
need to get out of the house. You need to make some friends, you know, go outside, have fun. And, you know, he's just very, I wouldn't call him socially awkward because he just doesn't, you don't get
he's
that.
He's just a nerd.
He's just a nerd. You know, he's just shy. He's a nerd. He knows nothing. And the only kids around are this ragtag team of baseball players who play on this dirt field, you know, right around the block from them.
So it's funny because this was a time, this movie came out in 93. So the nerd stereotype was at its peak in the 90s. Like mm-hmm. the kid who was the social outcast, but they don't make mention that these kids are social outcasts too until they introduce the rival baseball team.
Yeah.
Like these kids are also misfits and that's like half the fun of it. You know, he's the misfittiest of the misfits. Like that's who Scott Smalls is. I always forget that he has his name is Scott. He's always just been Smalls.
Smalls.
Killing me, Smalls. But you get to see him grow throughout the film. I think the weirdest time that he is barely in the film is during the interaction with them and the other team. It's almost like he's not even there.
Well, because he has nothing to say. He has no smart aleck response.
Like, even
to
when they do, but even like when they do like the big group shot, it's almost like he's not there.
I mean, you know what? He does have a hit in that game because you actually
you just see him once.
You see his baseball skills actually just amazingly improve. I mean, it's crazy how he actually turns into a decent baseball player.
Right.
And you know you got that great scene where he comes onto the field with that long, that ridiculously long hat.
Oh,
he's
God.
Got that like plastic
he's wearing it at the
that
end.
Plastic glove that is just. Pure
like a toy
garbage.
Club. Yeah.
And, you know, it's just, you feel for the kid.
Well, doesn't it break? Like, doesn't the dad, when the dad throws the
no,
ball?
No, the dad throws and hits him in the face.
But I think he breaks the glove at the same time.
No, I think.
Because he's sitting there with the black eye and the broken glove.
Oh, is that what it is?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
But yeah, you know, you feel for Smalls and you relate to him. And then, like, obviously the main conflict comes from him stealing Babe Ruth ball.
Absolutely.
And it's funny because like the first half of the movie is just him trying to like fit in with them. Then the second half is all of them coming together to get this ball back.
Yes.
And not because so much they care about what happens to Smalls, but because it's a Babe Ruth ball.
Babe Ruth signed ball. It's like, you know, pure gold.
But you also do get a big sense of camaraderie with all these kids and like how they do become friends. And it makes you think of when you were a kid in the summertime. When you're a kid, you can just make friends with people. Friends you'll never see again. Ever.
That's true.
Especially like vacation friends.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, there's nothing like vacation friends. I still have people on Instagram or Facebook that I met on vacation that I just kind of watch their lives unfold. I don't know anything about them. But I just hope they're doing really well, you know?
Yeah.
So it's always interesting for me to look at this movie because it does hit you in all the right feels. Riding your bike and playing baseball with your friends.
Honestly, it's a time I wish I lived in.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
We obviously had that back when we were younger where you just go outside, you know, you play ball, mm-hmm. you can go swimming if you wanted. Not to that extent where, like, it was just you walked out of the house and your parents didn't see you again for, like, you know, 12 hours. We didn't have that. But, you know, it's just a time period where I would have loved to have grown up in. I would have loved that.
Yeah, I'm totally with you.
Being able to play baseball all day, I would have been down for that.
Oh, yeah. Really good. I still am. Are you kidding? Like, even though I hate sports. And I'm not a sports guy. Like, you know, there's just something about, you know, all that fun stuff. And like, just this movie really, if you're first, like the beginning of summer, you crack open, like nowadays, we'd crack open a beer and throw this movie on. I'd be totally about it.
Mm-hmm.
We can make this movie into a drinking game. Every time they say Smalls, take a drink.
Ooh.
Ooh.
Go on.
Every time they say the Beast, take a drink.
I'm trying to say Babe Ruth.
Only Baby Ruth.
Nah,
Baby Ruth.
That only happens like twice. I know,
only twice.
That only happens twice.
All right, so now we have played by Scott Smalls. The adult actor is David Mickey Evans.
He's the director and writer of the movie.
Yeah, he's the narrator and plays adult Smalls.
They're actually, for anyone out there.
Oh, wait, no, scratch that. There's three people that play Smalls.
Well, because David Mickey Evans only does the voice.
Yeah, the narrator.
And then the actor, Arliss Howard, he plays the adult who you don't know it's him.
You know it's him.
I guess.
You know, he's got that fish hat.
You don't see it till the end of the movie.
Yeah, he's sitting there doing the commentary, and you see him
at the end of the movie.
Yeah, you see
a little bit of it in the beginning, but you don't really catch it right away.
Oh, you calm down.
I'll stop.
We got Mike Vitar as Benny Rodriguez.
Benny the Jet Rodriguez. And now, this is just the you know, I guess you could say he's like the golden boy of baseball. This kid can do no wrong. This kid, you know, this kid's going to go pro. He's that good.
Yeah.
They even say it when the good baseball team comes, and it's like, you know, Rodriguez, why are you playing with these like losers? They even point out,
except for Rodriguez, you're all an insult to the game.
Yeah.
But and also, obviously, he's from Mighty Ducks, so he gets bonus points just for that. Not much of an actor anymore, though. He's kind of, I think he does fireman or something like that.
I want to say he's in jail.
No, he's a fireman.
I thought he got arrested at some point, like years ago.
I know somebody from this cast got arrested. I don't know. But let's see.
No, you're right.
Okay. Yeah, he's an EMT and firefighter. Good for him.
Well, legal troubles.
Oh, did he get, what does it say? Oh, man. I closed it out. What was I thinking? You got this.
I'm reading it. I'm sorry. It's the wrong time to be doing this. But apparently him and two other firefighters pinned a guy down to the ground because they thought he was handing out candy that was laced with drugs. The guy fell unconscious. Paramedics arrived.
They put him in a chokehold. Jeez.
They were charged with felony assault. They plead no contest, reduced charge.
Suspended without pay for 6 months. And he's back
since referred. Okay. So, right. I mean.
It's not bad.
Well, not great, but it's, you know, he's not in jail like I thought. I thought I read somewhere that he really got, like he arrested or something like that really, like, really badly. But maybe that was it. I don't remember, so.
Yeah, but he's the cool kid of all of them, like, and he's the one that, he takes Smalls in and he kind of takes him under his wing. And
he's the only one that's not laughing at him when the ball, you know, when he has his, you know, the ball kind of hits him.
So for him, baseball is like a way of life. I think they even say that, like, baseball's a way of life for Petty. And he uses it as a way to he wants to share it with people. Like, he wants to give it to the world. And that's, I think that's really cool. And I really like, Benny's just like a cool dude and just a nice dude, but also like he picks up the bat like he was gonna go fight those other kids with it. Like, he does not, you know, hesitate on throwing down. And obviously he does become a very successful baseball player at the end.
Yep.
Yep.
Well, it's a fun scene because it's like kind of at the end of his career. Like, you even hear it in the commentary from the, you know, now we know it's Smalls. He's like, you know, he's lost a step or two, but, you know, he's still...
Don't be surprised to see some fireworks.
Some fireworks, and he steals home. It's great. It's great. And it's actually his older brother playing him in that scene. So it's like, because I remember that scene where he gives him the thumbs up, and you're like, wow, that's the same guy? Did they just make him up? And no, that's just his older brother.
Yeah, they look very much alike.
So,
all right, we got Patrick Renna as arguably the runaway star of this movie.
Yes.
Hamilton Ham Porter. Hamilton the Babe Porter.
Would go on to do The Big Green.
Yeah, he was big for a little bit.
Punks.
Oh, God, Punks.
He was big, you know, TV, like he would guest star on a lot of TV shows. But he was like one of those faces you would always see around in the 90s and maybe very early 2000s. I'm not sure if he's still acting now, but...
He did a few things in 2016.
I know he was obviously around when they were doing the big anniversary special for this, you know, where they were all showed up at Dodger Stadium.
Yeah, he's still very much into he was in the flashback scene. I guess in Sandlot 2, there's flashback scenes. A lot of them are in it. But Punks is there. Yep, I love it. Punks is still such a great movie. We got to do that.
A professional wrestler, the great Hambino.
Right. Still really good. And then we have, let's see, Chauncey Leparati.
Leparati.
All of them. As Squints, Michael Squints Palidorus, who is a sexual assaultist in this. Wow. Oh, God. Calm down. It was 93. But yeah, he plays Squints, and another actor that really still puts a lot of stuff into this, and like he loves talking about it, and he doesn't do nearly as much anymore.
But he's another one during the 90s you would kind of see him in other things, and I remember...
Oh my God, he was in the Sandlot Heading Home. My God, we're going to talk
about that. That's right. I forgot about that. Oh, I never saw it, but I remember him. He came back for that one.
But yeah, he's a big... A lot of TV. And he looks very different now. He's like, he got in really good shape, if memory serves correct, because that's what you do when you're the nerdy child actor. But he's in love with Wendy Peppercorn. We still talk about Wendy Peppercorn at my dad's house because it's Wendy Peppercorn. Everybody loves Wendy Peppercorn. Still, apparently, the scene of the pool was the coldest day that they were filming. Yeah, and that you could see him shivering. And yeah. they keep it in because they just make it seem like he's just shaking because he's nervous. But he's like legitimately just like cold. And he's just like... So, and ironically enough, in the movie, it's supposed to be the hottest day. Too hot to play baseball, as they say. The pool honeys. So basically, those boys just go there to perv on the girls.
I love when Hamilton, when Ham is just walking and is like, hey.
Hey, sexy.
Oh, you. Oh.
Yeah.
Oh, you're new. I like you.
I can't. It's too much. But we love squids, though. Marty York is Alan Yeah Yeah McLennan.
Yeah, yeah.
He's one of the only characters that they only refer to by their nickname. I think you only hear his name when he's first getting introduced.
You're right.
And then maybe. The rest of the movie, he's Yeah Yeah. I liked Yeah Yeah. He was just so easily excited. Yeah, yeah, yeah. I loved it. We have Brandon Quincy Adams as Kenny DeNunes. So
no, he's Jesse from The Mighty Ducks.
Yes, and he doesn't have a cool nickname.
No, he just knows DeNunes. That he just has his pitch called The Heater.
The Heater, and he does... What did they say Yeah Yeah goes on to do?
Yeah Yeah, I think goes on to...
Something about bungee jumping?
No, it was something to do with him being in... Yeah, when they lower him into the... He's something to do with, like, bungees and stuff like that, you know?
Yeah.
I can't remember exactly, but it had something to do with what they had him doing to get the ball back.
Right. And DeNunes, he plays a AAA ball, but he never makes it to the majors.
Yeah. And he coaches his son's little league team called the Heaters.
Love it. We have Grant Gelt as Bertram Grover Weeks. Another character.
I don't think you hear the ending names, but just hear him Bertram.
I think when Benny's introducing all of them, he does say all their whole names. But yeah, I mean, obviously, it's just for the sake of creating the character.
You know, he's like the one that obviously brings the big league chew to
still one of the most iconic and grossest scenes of all time.
God.
I still can't watch that scene. I really
I can watch it. I can only imagine how that little.
Oh, God. I can only imagine filming it.
True.
Oh, you hear horror stories about stuff like that. I mean, I'm sure if we went on there. But oh, yeah, still such a gross scene. I will always. And it ruined tequila for me. Because that's the song. But also, tequila ruined tequila for me. But
I hate tequila.
Oh, my God.
You know why I hate tequila? No, I hate the song. I'll drink it all the time. All right,
who'd win in a fight? The tequila scene from this movie or the tequila scene from Pee-wee's Big Adventure? In terms of just pure iconicness.
I gotta go with Sandlot.
I'm gonna go with Pee-wee.
Really?
I mean, the shoes are on display at the Smithsonian.
Yeah.
Yeah. And Pee-wee Herman just doing his little dance. You can't go wrong.
I'd say it's pretty close.
Ooh, I didn't do a who would win in a fight with Obi-Wan. I'm gonna have to go in and re-edit it. Just
Obi-Wan and who?
Obi-2? I panicked.
About to say, he had a fight with Darth Vader. It's kind of tied at this point because he ends up dying. So
Batman?
You know.
2 for 2.
I would have liked to have seen more of a fight between him and Reva.
Yeah, that would have been fun.
You know, but it just the way the characters were, you know, the way you found out about her character, you know. Just
that's either here nor there. That's our other episode.
Well,
God.
You brought it up.
I know. I felt bad because, you know, you call me the god of podcasting and I suck.
Yeah, I regret that.
That's fair. But anyway, we find out that Bertram gets really into the 60s and nobody ever sees him again.
Like, you could obviously, you could take that as he got into drugs or he went to Vietnam.
Or he was just a hippie.
There's so many factors that line could relate to.
I wonder if they just couldn't think of something to write for him.
As a kid, you have no idea what that means.
Right.
Like, you're like, he got really into the 60s. I'm like, oh, okay, he listened to music, good music all the time. Oh, that's cool. What happened to him?
We never know. But going down the list, I think that's almost... Oh, no, we got the two, Timmy and Tommy.
Timmy and Tommy, the little one always repeats what the
That's what they call
said.
Him, Tommy Repeat Timmons. So the Timmons twins or brothers they're the ones who built like the treehouse. Yeah. Like they go into big construction and apparently they created mini malls.
And he comes up with the idea with the vacuum cleaners. I love that. That
he does vacuum cleaners and then lowering him in.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like he
I misjudged the beast. I blamed myself.
We've been going about this all wrong. That's still one of my favorite scenes in the entire movie. It's just so dumb.
It's a great scene because they're acting like they're literally going to die. Like, these vacuum cleaners are going to kill them. And they're jumping. I mean, I love the Benny and Bertram literally launch themselves out of the treehouse. I'm like, dude, you could break your neck doing that. And the thing blows up, and it's just dust.
Yeah.
And then the kid Tommy walks down, and he's just covered. It's literally like, you know.
All right, you ready for this one?
I'm ready for this one.
The vomit used in the ride scene was made from split pea soup, baked beans, oatmeal, and a little water, and some movie gel. They used paint guns to discharge it, and they actually nailed a few people in real life by accident. The chewing tobacco was made from beef jerky and licorice. So, in movies, what they do is they do a jump cut, right? It's where it's here's the actor, and they make their fake vomiting noise, and they look over their shoulder, and you hear them, and then they cut to what happens.
You never actually see any of them actually projectile anything out of their mouths.
Yeah, I mean, it's been a lot of easy. Usually, they'll just have like it in the actor's mouth, and they'll spit it out, like stuff like that. But yeah, it would have been a little much. But man, this movie was only shot in 42 days. That's crazy. That's very quick.
I believe it.
Yep. Many of the young actors snuck into a nearby movie theater to watch Basic Instinct. That's awesome. Sorry, now I'm just looking at trivia. I know we're still actually going through the cast.
No, it's all right. We got really like the rest of the cast is basically, Karen Allen as Mrs. Smalls and Dennis Leary as Bill. And James Earl Jones as Mr. Myrtle. And then Marley Shelton, obviously, as Wendy Pepper. Art LaFleur, who has the job of playing Babe Ruth. I always love that scene. That was a great
scene. It's a great scene.
And that's about it for the cast.
Did you mention James Earl Jones?
I did. I just said James Earl Jones.
I don't know if you mentioned because he's just Mr. awesome. Mr. Myrtle. So do you want to go through the plot with this movie?
We can. Not like we don't have to go plot by plot point, but basic, you know.
Basic stuff?
Basic points.
So the movie starts off in the summer of 62, and Smalls is narrating this whole thing. Yeah, he's telling the story.
Yeah, and it's L.A.? Is it? Where are they? Arizona?
Yeah, the Los Angeles suburb. Yeah.
Okay.
And basically, his mom's like, you are a nerd and a loser, and you have no friends. Go make some.
And I am just fed up with you.
Yeah. I just married Bill, and we want to make babies. Get out of the house. I mean, that's basically it. That's the whole movie, in a nutshell. Don't come home. Granted, Bill like goes away for like a month or something.
Somewhere. It's like, yeah, it feels like it. You know, but
so, unfortunately, like he tries to join a group of kids who are playing it at the nearby Sandlot. And he finally gets up the courage to go out there.
That's a good title, The Sandlot.
Oh, yeah. It's the name. And obviously, he tries to go out there and he gets massively embarrassed. Like, he tries to catch the ball and he tries to throw it. He can't throw the ball. And it's I hate embarrassing, cringy scenes like that. Just because I feel so bad for them. Even though I know it's an actor. I know it's a kid who's like, all right, this is what you're going to do. Sport. Like, I get it. But at the same time, I'm like, man, that sucks. You feel bad for him. The acting in this movie is actually really good for kids.
Yeah.
They all do a good job. And Benny's takes sympathy on him. And he's like, you know what? We can still do, you know, you can play. It's easy. And we get him trying to learn how to play catch with his stepdad. And his stepdad beams him in the face.
Puts the raw steak on his
face. Oh my god, nothing more 1950s, 60s than putting raw steak on your black eye.
It's a waste of steak.
I know, right? Just keep it in the foil. I think she even goes, steak, get some ice. It reminds me of the scene from Smart House.
Yes.
Yes. That's another one. Apparently that's still got like a huge cult following. This movie has a huge cult following.
This movie is
so
up there on the cult status.
Oh, it's
I don't even call it a cult movie though. Like,
because it did well.
But to me, I just think this movie is just generally loved by like so many people.
There is not a complaint that you can levy at this movie.
No.
It's very hard to find.
Like a lot of players in baseball, like today, if not in the last couple of years, I mean, this is the movie they grew up on. Mm-hmm. I mean, this is a movie that made them want to play baseball.
Right.
You know, a lot of famous major league players have said, like, this Sandlot was the movie that was like, this is what I want to do. So this movie's just generally, I mean, like, I would say this movie is definitely more popular than Rookie of the Year.
I would agree with that.
Yeah, I think Rookie of the Year, you could say more of its cult movie than this movie.
I would not say that. Okay. If that made sense. Words.
Double but, negative, but okay.
I would not say that. But so Smalls gets invited to go back by Benny, and Benny helps him not only, like Benny literally hits the ball into his glove. It's still legendary.
Please catch it. Please catch it.
And shows
Please
him how to, because he runs the ball into him.
Yes.
Now, apparently, these kids are also not playing for score. They're not
just playing for fun.
Weird.
And for the longest time, they were playing without, like, because obviously 9 players on a field, and they were only playing with 8 because they even have a little line saying, well, the kid moved away. Like, you know, now we cannot play a full game, you know.
Yeah.
So, you know, but
even though if somebody's on base, can they still play?
I don't know.
If somebody's on first, they can't play.
Like,
game's
basically
over.
Basically, one person's up at the bat, and they bat, and then the next person comes up. That person replaces them in the field, yada, yada, yada.
We never see... Benny is the catcher.
Yeah, Benny's the catcher when Hamilton bats.
We never see Smalls learn how to hit.
He does hit, though. You know, yeah, you don't see him learn how to hit, but you do see him obviously hit a couple times.
It's like 3 digits kick back. Because I'm ninja, I'm good at swinging my butt. You mean your bat. I can't catch, though. Man, solid movies also. This is like the time of like the kid fulfillment fantasy era.
Oh, yeah.
Where it was kids doing early all 90s. The things. Oh, God, it was a great time.
But this is like a realistic movie. These kids playing baseball. I mean, I guess the only unrealistic thing you could say about this movie...
is him building an entire erector set like that?
Maybe, yeah.
All right, who'd win in a fight? Smalls with his erector set or Kevin McAllister with prep time?
Okay, Kevin McAllister.
All right, what about Smalls with his erector set with prep time and Kevin McAllister no prep time?
You keep saying erector set. I want you to just...
No, I'm not going to do it. I'm not going to do it.
So what was the other one? I'm sorry.
His erector set. Smalls with erector set and prep time versus Kevin McAllister no prep time.
I'm still going to give it to Kevin McAllister. You're still going
to
give it
to Kevin McAllister.
All right. I'm sorry. Like,
who'd win in a fight? Oh, the treehouse from Home Alone or the treehouse from this movie?
I think saw the treehouse from Home Alone, so I'm going
to say it doesn't have stairs, so I'm going to automatically give it to the one at the Sandlot.
Yeah, I think, you know, this has got a full staircase, not like one of those.
They do a sleepover with nine boys.
Not where like the planks are like nailed into the tree,
yeah.
And you're like trying to like tippy toe up it. No, this is like a full staircase. Yeah. So you got to give it to the treehouse.
I will give it to this one. So after he learns how to, basically, he kind of learns how to catch and throw. Like it's not like
he's. Good. Like he's fine. Like, yeah. They even have the lines like, okay, we can play. You know, so, they know he's not perfect, but it's good.
But during one of the games, Hamilton beams a home run into the next yard, and they're all like, oh, no, we can't play. Like, and Smalls like,
they're like throwing the gloves at him. They're
and
like,
he's all happy. Stink. And Smalls like, don't worry, I'll go get it, man. I'm a hero. Like, coolest guy. I can't catch a ball, but I'm going to climb this fence. All right, director set.
Which is like, no.
It's still such a great scene. And they're all running and like they pull him off the fence and he's like, what are you doing? Get off me. And you find out about the Beast. We didn't even mention the Beast.
No, we didn't.
Because the Beast is his own character.
Who would win in a fight?
The Beast or Cujo?
Cujo.
I think the Beast.
I think Cujo. The Beast turns out to be like a mush.
But he does chase Benny for quite some time.
Chase Benny.
He's got the endurance and the stamina.
Honest to God though, if he caught up to Benny, I think he would just lick him.
All right, who would win in a fight? The Beast puppet? Or the Yoda puppet. Sean was ready for that.
Do you sit up at night and think of these things?
No, these literally just come. So basically, for those of you guys who aren't sure, the Beast, for the most part, you don't actually see the dog until the very end.
You see a very big puppet. Which yeah. The logistics
the
of
and
it.
The, and the face.
The
yeah.
logistics of it are... I tend to think that it's in the kids' minds.
I do too. It's like it's kids over...
They're making believe of what they see. Like,
yeah.
It's not the real dog. Because yeah, when you see the real dog, you're like, oh, it's just a... It's just a normal...
It's a big dog. Like, he's a big dog.
It's a big dog.
Big, doofy dog. But... So, we find out that the kids have always... The dog's always been there, and it's called the Beast. Actually called Hercules. And it's an English Mastiff. And, yeah, he's this... In their world, he's this giant monster dog. And they decide that they're going to tell Smalls about it at a campout, where they do it in the treehouse. Which is funny, because the treehouse, you assume... The twins built or the brothers built it.
Yeah.
Because they talk about how they built tree houses. But like the Sandlot has always just been there. And like we don't know who owns that property or anything like that. Because I always, in my mind as a kid, I always thought the treehouse was like at Timmy and Tommy's house.
Nah, it's yeah. right on the.
It's on the Sandlot.
Yep.
Because it oversees the fence.
But you're right. It's got to be one of the kids. Houses that it's on or something yeah. like that.
Or maybe like...
No sane person would allow kids to build a treehouse that overlooks their property.
Especially such a nice one. Those kids couldn't do it by themselves. Nah. They needed help. They suck. But until they make mini malls. But so that we get... Ironically, I think this is one of their more iconic scenes. The scene of them telling the story of the Beast and obviously the s'mores scene. You know, we still do the s'mores. You want some more what? You're killing me small. It's the first time you hear you're killing me smalls too. And they tell the story about the Beast, you know, that it was, you know, this old junkyard owner. He kept getting robbed. So he got this dog that ate people. And that's Squid's grandpa.
Yeah, great little flashback scene that's just so, like, ridiculous.
It's very A Christmas Story style. All right, who'd win in a fight? The kid from A Christmas Story or Smalls? No BB gun. I think Smalls could throw hands.
Probably.
Because that kid does go bananas on the bully. But he just slaps. I think Smalls just has a natural advantage with his erector. Yeah, you thought I was going to say it. Thought I was going to say that. Yeah. But yeah, so basically they tell the story that he'll never be able to get a ball there, right? So now we get, again, this is more just iconic scenes, the pool scene.
Mm.
Where we mentioned it, you know, Ham's hitting on all the girls. And we've already established that Squints is in love with Wendy Peppercorn.
Yeah, because we see in an earlier scene where they're buying a ball and she's walking past him.
Squints was eyeing a dame. No, I wasn't. Yeah, yeah, you were.
Yeah, yeah.
You were swooning.
And ooh, Wendy Peppercorn.
And Squints has a comeback that I still use. He's like, shut up. Got a lot of things on my mind lately. I don't know what it is that a 10-year-old's got.
Called puberty.
I know, right? But so they decide to go to the pool. And obviously the pool is iconic for the fact that Squints pretends to die. So Wendy Peppercorn, the light, she don't know what she's doing.
Just want to say, for the hottest day in the summer, apparently, that pool was very empty.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. That's because all the women were sunbathing. And then left after...
Where are the other kids in the neighborhood?
There are no other kids in the neighborhood, apparently.
Yeah, apparently.
But... So we get the, obviously, like I said, the iconic scene of Squints pretending to die. So Wendy Peppercorn would come save him. And he waves to her right before he jumps. And then he starts making out with her. And she calls him a little pervert, throws him out. They all get banned from the pool for life.
That's tough.
But we do find out in the ending scene...
He married Wendy Peppercorn.
They got married and had nine kids.
And they own the drugstore.
Yep, the local drugstore, which is hilarious and savage. But so afterwards, we get the pickup scene at the Sandlot where, you know, it mirrors the opening scene with him running back and forth between and the rival baseball team. And then I love this movie because it talks like kids that age do talk, where it's a weird mix of mild obscenities and just childish insults.
You play ball like a girl.
Oh my God. They're all like, oh God, line crossed.
Seriously.
Yeah. Nowadays he'd get canceled for that. Unfortunately. There's no crying in baseball. So we get that, obviously that back and forth, that exchange. And oh man, it is so much fun. You mix your Wheaties with your mama's toe jam. You bop for apples in the toilet and you like it. It's just funny. It's just like, we all had kids that like you argued with. And where these kids came up with some of these things.
Even though it's not kids, but it rivals the back and forth in Hook.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that's a good one. Yeah. That is a very good one.
Similar in that.
Where some of the insults just don't make sense.
Don't make sense.
Matt Tudor.
Prison barber.
Nearsighted gynecologist. Didn't get that one as a kid.
No.
Yeah. But anyway. So. Jesus Christ. Oh, anyway, so they beat the rival team, like they smoke them.
Oh,
too.
They killed them. Yeah, they killed them. Which I mean, they were hitting everybody. Everybody got, even Smalls got a hit.
Yep, even Smalls got a hit. I do find it kind of biased that Ham was also the umpire.
No, he wasn't the umpire. He was the catcher.
He calls the strikes though. Strike three, you're out. And again, more great insults. Is that your sister over in center field naked? I'm just trying to have a friendly conversation. Think she'd go out with me? Man, these kids are all a little horned up. Ah, to be 12 again.
Oh, what a time.
What a time. So,
got a lot of things on my mind.
Yeah. Got a lot of things on my mind lately. So they go out to celebrate. We get the scene of again, this movie is a lot of just really iconic scenes.
It's like, oh man, I forgot. Jaw.
Oh, so gross. And the fact that was beef jerky and licorice. Yeah. I like beef jerky. I really, really do. Licorice, I do not. So to put those together, I feel like it would just be such
But would you know that?
Yeah. I'm sure they told the kids what they were going to be eating.
You think?
I hope. Child endangerment.
Well, they also know that, well, obviously it's not going to do anything to them, you know.
Here's a question.
Who would win in a fight?
No, no. How old do you think Wendy Peppercorn was? She was obviously older
16?
Than...
16?
Really?
You have to be 16 at least to be a lifeguard.
I felt like she was like 18 or older.
She could have been.
Because I was going to say, which kiss was weirder? That one or the one at the end of Blank Check? Yeah. Yeah, that one's still very weird. For those of you guys who don't know, at the end of Blank Check, the main kid gets a kiss from like an adult woman and he's like 10.
Mm-hmm.
It's very uncomfortable to watch. And it's like not like a peck on the cheek. It's like, don't you remember Blank Check?
I do. I don't remember this kiss scene. Like, I can't remember it.
Oh,
man,
it's rough. You got to watch that. We got to do an episode on that one.
It's a great movie. I love that movie.
I love that
movie. It's every kid's dream.
I could spend $1 million in a week.
Well, now.
Easy. Just
you couldn't get all what he got for $1 million today.
Not anymore. No, he
bought a castle for $300,000.
I don't want to talk about it. I don't want to talk about it. I'm living
a little shack in Mayapak costs $300,000.
Yeah,
you're killing me on this deal.
Okay, we're gonna stop there because now I'm just getting sad. But real
estate. $1 million is like $1,000 now. You can't do much with it.
It's crazy. I would do plenty with $1 million.
Oh, I agree. I would do plenty with $1 million.
We'd
I'd
have,
be fine.
We have five microphones here. You don't even know, Sean.
Would you get a bigger studio? God, I can barely move in this place.
I know, right? But anyway, now that I'm just going to go cry about my life. I don't remember.
Oh, you were questioning the age of Wendy Peppercorn.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
I'd say she's in the 16 to 18 range, because what? That's fair. They're like
10 to 12.
10 to 12, I think maybe even 12.
It says that he's a fifth grader, so that makes him about 10.
Wow.
Yeah, 10 to 11. At least in modern standards.
Modern standards don't apply.
Yeah, that's fair. Let's see. Then going down, we have... What?
No, you sounded like you were going to do the cast
again. No. I'm just basically doing... So we have another issue where Benny hits a ball and he actually knocks the stuffing out of it.
It's like an omen.
Yeah, that's what they call it, the omen.
The omen. Something's going to happen.
So
he... Never seen that.
Hits the guts out of the ball?
Hits the guts out of the ball. And I just love Benny's like, well, we can't play no more.
Yeah.
And then just Smalls out of
It's only 9 o'clock and I ruined the whole day for us.
Smalls just like, yeah, we can. Why? You got... I think it was
98 extra 98 cents.
98 extra cents for a ball. Says, no, but I got a ball. And they're like, go get it.
Yeah.
Dummy. And he just grabs a Babe Ruth ball.
He doesn't even know.
I got it, guys. I got it. Here's the ball. I got it.
You're killing me, Smalls.
Yeah, you're up. So, and he hits a home run to your dead ball center field. Up. Or yep. Left field, because I think Benny takes over for his position. Mm-hmm. They're all very happy for him when he hits the ball over the fence, but they hated Ham when he did it.
It was probably his first one.
Oh yeah, you always clap for the first one.
Yeah, it doesn't Ham also he flies undone when he whiffs it. Yep. So Smalls then tells him that wasn't my ball.
Well, there's a great scene with the ball coming towards the camera, and of course it's the Babe Ruth, you know, signature, you know, flying right at your face. Goes, that wasn't my ball. What do you mean that wasn't your ball? No, guys, that wasn't my ball.
Yeah. And then he finds out Babe Ruth and Baby Ruth are the same. Or no, Babe Ruth, Ruth is
Baby. It was some lady.
Ruth, Baby Ruth.
Babe Ruth.
Oh, it's still so good. And you know,
Who is she, Paul?
The Great Bambino.
Yeah.
The Sultan of SWAT.
The Sultan of SWAT.
The Colossus of Cloud. The Colossus of Cloud. Yeah, that's when he finds out that that's actually the Great Bambino. Because there's a scene in the beginning.
God, they're the same guy.
I don't feel so good.
Well, Phantom.
Yep. And so the rest of the movie is basically them just trying to get the ball back. And we talked about a lot of those scenes, but Babe Ruth visits Benny in a dream.
Yes.
And inspires him.
That's a good scene.
It's a good scene. And inspires him to, doesn't he take the card of the guy that's going to break record? Breaks his record, right?
Yeah, he goes, I don't know why, but can I have this?
Yeah.
It was a Hank Aaron rookie card.
See,
which, God,
would be worth
like
a lot
of money now.
Crazy, right?
Yeah.
But so
here the great line, I love this line from the movie. It was like heroes get remembered, but legends never die.
Mm-hmm.
It's a great line.
Oh, it still is. It still works. But Benny decides he's going to break out the PF flyers that apparently they reissued when this movie came out.
They just look like Converse to me. Like, I mean, yeah. I guess PF, I think Converse ended up buying them or something like that, but I don't know. But yeah,
I love
how those shoes were considered like the go-tos back then. Like,
they make kids
hate Converse.
Jump higher and run faster.
The most uncomfortable shoes I've ever worn in my life.
Yeah. So he manages to pickle the beast and get the ball, but the beast breaks his chain and jumps the fence. And we get the infamous wipeout scene.
Wipeout.
It's so good. Oh, shit. The dog jump. And I like how the kids are like, what are we waiting for? Let's get him. Like, what are they going to do? Beat this dog to death.
Basically chasing Benny. The dog's just chasing Benny all around town.
Yep.
You know, into the movie theater.
The Wolfman.
The Wolfman. Great scene.
Beautifully put together.
And the, you know, like their 4th of July picnic that they're having or whatever picnic they're having. It's just a fun little chase scene. And then, you know, they get back to the sandlot and, you know, and they have that scene where, like, you know, the gate falls and it falls on the dog. And then, of course, everybody goes to help. And the dog just becomes a mush. Just starts licking, you know.
Because they save him and he appreciates that.
That's true.
Yeah. So he was just playing with them, which makes it even more sad. Like, the dog just wanted to do plays.
Yeah.
I mean, it's like my cat, who's a dick. And when he plays, I get cut and scarred for life. So they end up going into Mr. Myrtle's house. Because at the beginning of the, like, when all this started, Smalls even says, why don't we just go knock on the door and ask Mr. Myrtle to get it? And the beast also has like 500 balls there.
And Squints, of course, is like, no, you don't do that.
He's the meanest old man on the block.
And then, of course, when they go in the door, it's like, why don't you just come over and knock? I would have gotten your ball back. And they start
smacking
Squints.
We got the ball back, didn't we? But we almost got killed. Got the ball back.
And it's like, well, they finally
got a lot of things on my mind.
So, and then, of course, Benny and Smalls go into Mr. Myrtle's house, and he ends up finding that Mr. Myrtle was a baseball player.
Yep.
And who was hit in the head, and that's blinded. that caused his blindness. But he had played with Babe Ruth, he had played with Lou Gehrig, and all these famous baseball players.
Which is really cool.
And he has a ball signed by, I believe, the 1927 Yankees, and he gives it to Smalls.
Trades it
for the Babe Ruth ball. And so, of course, at the end...
And as long as they come over once a week to talk baseball.
Which...
Easy enough. And Hercules, as the Beast is actually known, becomes the mascot.
That's true.
And he, you know, he's sitting there, he's got a shirt on, it says Hercules on it, it's really cool. He gives the ball to Bill, and he does ground Smalls for a week, but really appreciates it. And you find out that their relationship gets a lot better.
Yeah.
And, yeah, let's see. So, Kenny DeNunez becomes a AAA pitcher, Little League team, Benny's exploits with the Bic. So, it's because of Benny, the... pickling the Beast, that's when he gets the nickname the Jet. And the movie ends with, you know, Benny and Smalls having their little moment at the end.
Which is a good, I have to say, it's a really good scene.
It is a fantastic scene.
The voice of the Dodgers and his childhood best friend is like...
And it makes sense.
An old star of the team and stuff. So it's a great scene. It really is. And, you know, it's... Obviously, we get the famous where, like, you know, they're saying what everybody else did after they left the Sandlot, which... It's a great scene because it's weird in a way when each person has their turn, they like vanish, like, you know, they disappear.
Afterwards.
And it's like not creepy, but it's just kind of makes it all seem real. Like, okay, they all grow up, they all, you know, obviously go separate ways, you know, and it's really cool hearing what each one of them ends up doing with their lives. Obviously, Bertram, you know,
got really into the 60s,
and we don't know what happened.
I feel like he was the oldest out of all of them because he was just the tallest.
Well, that doesn't mean anything.
In my childhood mind, that's the way
that's
it
fair.
Was. And
you,
don't
you
tell
do have a childhood mind.
Wow. Rough. I'm just going to edit you out at this point.
Can you do that?
I don't know. I mean, I probably could. Star City rating for the Sandlot?
Four.
Yeah, I'm going to give that a four.
Now we're going to talk about Sandlot 2.
Get out. Sandlot. All right. Well, actually, I have a caveat for my Star City rating. It is a 4 during any time of the year, but it is a 4.5 during the summertime.
Okay.
That I don't know sense. What it is, but if I was sitting there watching with like a burger and a hot dog and a beer, like just automatic.
Well, I mean, again, it's very similar to the whole notion of a Christmas, like kind of what's your take on Christmas movies? Is a movie that has a scene during Christmas considered a Christmas movie? This movie has a scene during the 4th of July. Is it a 4th of July movie? It's a summer movie. It takes place during the summer. You know, it's a movie you could watch on the 4th of July, but you could watch it any time during the summer. You could watch it in the winter. It doesn't matter, but it's got an extra... good feel to it when you're actually watching it during the summer. And it's one of those movies where, yeah, as you said, you know, you have a barbecue, you know, you have a couple burgers, hot dogs, and you know what? Let's put on a movie. Sandlot is like the perfect movie to put on.
I completely agree.
So it really, I agree. Like, I get where you're going with that during the summer, it's like a 4.5. It's one of those movies that just makes work during the summertime.
But there are two sequels. Sandlot 2 has nothing to do with the original Sandlot, except for the fact that it takes place on the Sandlot. And then I think the Sandlot 3 is...
Sandlot 2, the one with, like, it's a spaceship instead of a ball. Oh, my God.
I have no idea.
But the third one I actually read was actually not horrible, but...
Yeah.
That just... Again, no.
Okay. No.
Now, it says here that they announced a prequel back in July of 2018. Obviously, nothing ever came of it. And then, as of 2019, there was a TV series with the original cast in the works for Disney Plus as a result of Disney acquiring 20th Century Fox. But again, nothing as of right now has come.
Yeah, and
of
when
that.
They say original cast, I mean, all those kids are like.
It has to
older
be, I
us.
Guess. Yeah, and then, like, I don't know how that makes any sense. Like, they're going to have some of them be still living in the town, or I don't know.
Ooh, who'd win in a fight? The Sandlot kids or the Mighty Ducks? Mighty Ducks won. Mighty Ducks 1
versus Sandlot Kids, I would go Sandlot Kids.
Okay. And then Mighty Ducks 2.
Mighty Ducks 2, when the kids obviously become, like, you know, NHL superstars, then maybe not, but, you know.
It's tough. It's tough stuff.
Yeah. Nah. You know, the everyone forgets the first Mighty Ducks, man. They were, like, kids from the wrong side of town.
Oh,
you know?
Yeah.
It was, like, it wasn't all the sunshine and rainbows for them.
They were, like, putting dog poop in people's purses. They were like Billy Madison and his friends.
It's very true.
But anything else you want to say about...
No, I'm trying to look up any good other trivia for it, but nothing really...
Nothing jumps out.
There was a great on... it shows up on MLB Network every now and then. It'll probably be on relatively soon, but there was like a good documentary on the making of the Sandlot. So I've watched that a couple times. Some good fun, you know, discussions on, you know, how they cast the movie, how they filmed it, all that stuff. You know, everybody has great memories of making the movie. There's no, like...
No, like, behind-the-scenes
There's no behind-the-scenes drama or anything like that, you know. So, that's good to hear always. You always like to hear when movies you like, you know, the filming went well. There
the
were no
actress
issues.
Who played Wendy Peppercorn was 18 during filming, and the movie premiered 5 days before her 19th birthday.
Okay.
There you go.
Again, she was 18, but was she, yeah, they don't ever say her actual age. You just know she's older than Squints. So if Squints was fifth grade, that makes him 10. And again, let's say the youngest she could be would be 16, because I don't think you could be younger than that to be a lifeguard. Yeah. Maybe back then you could. I don't know.
The s'more scene took 12 takes to shoot.
Because they were
laughing. They were all laughing. Yeah, they were all just laughing, which is fun.
Yeah.
I like stuff like that. But I think that pretty much wraps us up.
Oh, no. But this was fun.
Yeah.
Definitely. So, good little start to the summer for us.
I think we're going to do a couple more sports.
Yeah, sports or summer-related movies, and we'll keep them coming. So,
yeah, we will.
Yes, sir. As always, I am Sean.
And I'm Paul.
And everybody out there, have a good and safe 4th of July.
And don't forget to check out our website, themisfitfaction.com, for links of all of our other shows and all of our other material. And search us on social media. You won't be disappointed.
Will you, though?
You might be disappointed. Okay, bye.